Okay. Encourage you to find the outline that's in your bulletin if you haven't done so already. And follow along. There's a place to write in some notes, some scriptures. The children who want to go to children's worship can do that. Ed's back there with them. So, all right. We have been, or I have been, here and there and everywhere. So I'm sort of coming back to where I was before I left. I was looking at the Matthew chapter 6 and what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Others prefer to call it the model prayer, and I've looked at various aspects of that as we pray. I want to just reread it, and we'll focus in on the last part of it. The last part of it is not in some translations and in some manuscripts, but I think it's good for us, and I think it is worthy of thinking about. So I want to go back and look at that part of it. But let me begin by reading, starting verse 9 of Matthew 6, and read again this very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That last part someone don't include, but I think there's some things in it I want us to think about. We began, Jesus said, to recognize God as our Father through faith in Jesus. And because of our connection to Christ, we can claim Him as Father in a particular way. I know God created all human beings, but is there not a unique relationship between God, the children of God who have faith in Jesus? He's our Father in a very special way because He's caused us to have new birth, and therefore He's our spiritual Father, different. But He addresses Him as our Father in heaven, one who rules and reigns, which I'll talk more about as I go here. But He reigns, and His name is to be honored, to be respected, to be held high, and we speak the name of Jesus. We don't use it as a curse word or don't use it just as a casual thing, but the name of Christ is to be honored, held high, because it's a name above all names. We pray that His kingdom will come, His rule will come, His will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. How'd you like to live in a place where God's will is being done like it is in heaven? What do you think this country would be like if more and more people are trying to live like God's kingdom and God's will is being done now? It'd be a whole different place. We'd have a whole different joy and a whole different blessing, but it's not there yet. Someday He'll reign, I understand that. But we pray for it to come. What I think of, though, is this, that every time an individual submits their life to Christ and Jesus becomes their Lord, to that degree, the kingdom comes. The king reigns. The king's dominion comes to live in that person. So He said, pray that your kingdom come and your will be done here like it is in heaven. Talked about praying for our daily bread, and He provides all our daily needs and then some. He really does. So we talked about asking, trusting God for that. Then to forgive us as we forgive others, which I talked about. And then to keep us out of temptation. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to not be tempted anymore? I'd like to live with no temptation. But as long as I'm in this world, I guess I'm going to have to deal with that along the way. But that's also positive. Because does the devil bother people who belong to him too much? Probably not. So if you're living for Jesus, he's probably going to try to tempt you. So temptation may mean that you're trying to serve the Lord, and he knows that, so he's trying to get you sidetracked. So that may be a good sign. But the last part of this says, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And I want to think about that, about adoring God, honoring God, exalting God. So as you have your outline, let me suggest some things about it. First of all, as we pray, we want to say to God, yours is the kingdom. I acknowledge you as the King, as the Lord. Let me suggest some things about that, about His kingdom, that we want to praise Him for. First of all, I praise you that your kingdom is everlasting. Yours is the kingdom, so I'm saying, God, I praise you that your kingdom is everlasting. The scripture passage listed said, He will be great, and He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will reign over Him, will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and His kingdom will have no end. This, of course, is told to Mary as the announcement of the birth of Jesus was given to her. But notice what it says about her. He's going to be the Son of the Most High God. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Forever. And His kingdom will have no end. Don't let anybody ever try to tell you that the things of Christ in the church is going to end one day, because it's not. The kingdom, the rule, and the reign of Christ is going to be forever. Now, I recognize He reigns in heaven. I realize there's a time when He reigns on earth and the things that are coming. But right now, I acknowledge that His kingdom rules and will last forever. Aren't you glad to belong to somebody, something that's going to last forever? Everything else in this world deteriorates sooner or later. How many of you have to keep up a house? Most of you find that you think you own the house, but it really owns you. You always got stuff to do. And as soon as we think we got it all fixed, something breaks. And it deteriorates. You got to repaint it. You got to put a new roof on it. But thank you that the kingdom of God, the rule of Christ, is an everlasting kingdom. And I'm sure glad to anchor my life in something that I know is going to go on forever, because I belong to the everlasting King, the Lord of glory. So I praise You, Lord. Your kingdom is everlasting. And I'm connected to that kingdom in Jesus. Another area is I praise You that Your kingdom extends beyond this world. I pray that Your kingdom extends beyond this world. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, then My servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, My kingdom is not of this realm." That doesn't mean Jesus isn't alive here. He's alive. He works in us. But His ultimate kingdom is not of this world. Aren't you glad You got something better in this world? Now, I'm grateful for what God gives us in this world. I'm grateful for the life I have and all the blessings that are ours. But the kingdom of God, He said, Jesus said, "My kingdom don't belong to this world." Talking about here near His death, near facing His crucifixion. He was going to say, He said, "If My kingdom was this world, my men, my people would fight and would win." If Jesus had chosen to fight, could He have won and not have to face the cross? He didn't choose to do that. He chose to die. But He said, "My kingdom doesn't belong to this world." And then so He said, "My kingdom is not of this realm." So that means He's got something superior for us. Something greater than we've ever known. Something greater than we'll ever see here in this world. Jesus promised us that His kingdom, His rule and reign, not only is in our lives, but ultimately He'll rule and reign here, and ultimately rule and reign in heaven. And He said, "My kingdom is greater than this world." Hallelujah. I'm glad I belong to something greater, more important, more valuable, more lasting than that is. So, I praise You, Lord. So, what I'm thinking is when I come and say, "God, Yours is the kingdom," I'm saying, "I praise You that Your kingdom is everlasting. I praise You that Your kingdom is beyond this world, that I've got something to look forward to, something greater, something more valuable than I can connect with here in this earth." The third area under that is, I praise You for adding me to Your kingdom. I praise You for adding me to Your kingdom. Oh, thank You, Lord. The Scripture says, "For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." He rescued us from the domain of darkness. Have you ever been there? Is there anybody who's not been there? See, if you don't know Jesus, before you meet Jesus, you're in the domain of the kingdom of darkness. You don't know Christ. And so you're in that part of the kingdom, or in that place, what He called the domain of darkness. But God has transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. He has moved us out of darkness into the eternal kingdom of God. How does He do that? Notice what the Scripture passage says. "To the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." He transfers us by forgiving us of our sins when we come to Him as Savior and Lord. And He redeems us out of our own world and our own sin and our own lostness. So He's adding us to His kingdom. He does that through Jesus. He doesn't do it because we go to church every Sunday. He doesn't do it because we read the Bible every day. He doesn't do it because we're a good neighbor. He doesn't do it because we're a good business person and honest. He doesn't do it because of any of those things we stack up. Why does He transfer us to the from the kingdom of this world or the dominion of this world to the kingdom of God? Through Jesus Christ, who loved us enough to come down the cross, be buried, raised again, and ascend to heaven. Isn't that our hope? And through Him, we are moved out of this world of lostness and out of this world of darkness and out of all the stuff that goes on around us. And He moves us by faith in Jesus from here to the kingdom of God. And we belong to Him. He's transferred us. Have you been transferred? Have you been transferred from the kingdom of darkness? And you can say today, I belong to the kingdom of God because Jesus Christ is now my Lord and Savior. And I'm trying to serve Him and I'm trying to live for Him. I belong to Him. He has moved me. Folks, that's a celebration. You ought to celebrate. Thank you, Lord, for Your kingdom coming to me and redeeming me and saving me and making me into Your kingdom. And I know I belong to You. I feel sorry for people who tell me, well, preacher, I hope someday I'll go to heaven. Well, I want to tell you something. Because of Jesus, I don't hope. I know I'm going to heaven because of Christ. Not because I've got enough stuff, not because I'm good enough, but because of Jesus who loved me enough to come here, die for my sins, be raised again, ascend to heaven. Because of Him, I have that hope. So I thank You, Lord, that I praise You that You added me to Your kingdom. So when Jesus is talking about praying, you pray, Lord, Yours is the kingdom. I think it's good for us to recognize that the God we belong to is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the Master of all. And He's the one we belong to. And His kingdom to whom we're connected. And that's a forever eternal kingdom. And everything we do and everything we say for Him is going to be connected to eternity. You see, when I serve Jesus, it's not only for the moment. When you teach a Sunday school class or you visit your neighbor in the name of Jesus, take some food over, you go to the hospital, whatever. When you serve in His name, it's not just for the moment. It has an eternal consequence to it because the Scripture says that as we serve Him, there's treasure laid up in heaven. I'm connected to this eternal kingdom of God. So I want to say, Lord, thank You that Yours is the kingdom and I'm in it. I praise You for it. The second area is Yours is the power. Yours is the power. The Scripture says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Yours is the power. I'm glad to know that God is all-powerful. He's not some weakling off in some corner waiting for us. He's all-powerful. Let me think about some areas that are related to Scripture I read on the other side of your notes. I praise You, first of all, that Your power is supreme. I praise You, Lord, that Your power is supreme. He talked about in the passage that He talked about Jesus. He said this. He talked about the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but the one to come. Is that true? Is the God we belong to, the God we who created this universe, the God who sent Jesus, that God, He is supreme above all other gods. Nothing is equal to Him, let alone above Him. And so when I pray and I say, Lord, Yours is the kingdom and Yours is the power, I recognize I'm connected to an eternal power source that will always be eternal, will always be there, and nobody will ever surpass Him, let alone equal Him. I praise You, Lord, that in Your kingdom, You are supreme above all else. So, folks, don't get discouraged. Sometimes I see things happening. I don't like some of the stuff that happens in this country. I don't like some, well, I won't get into politics, but anyway. But I need to remember that the Lord God is supreme above all those powers. He is still sovereign. He is still on the throne. I don't care who gets to be president. He is still our Lord. He's still our master. He's still running the show. And He's the supreme one. And I need to recognize, God, Your power is available to me. And I'm trusting Your power to work, even though I don't like some of the things that are happening. Let me just encourage you as a Christian. I'll take one sidetrack. I hope you vote. Enough said. I praise You that Your power, God, is supreme. It's good to know the God we serve, the God we belong to, is it. He is above them. He's above them all. Secondly, I praise you that your power is everlasting. I praise that your power is everlasting. He talked about that the kingdom of God would extend through all ages. And he's been seated in heavenly places above all rule and power and authority. His everlasting. So, that meant that not only is his power available today, his power is forever. It's good to know. I praise you, Lord, that your power, yours is the power, because you have an everlasting power. Aren't you glad to know that God will never be defeated? The kingdom of God and the church of God and the cause of Christ will always stand, will always continue. It has power over everything. So let the world try to shut us down. Let them try to get us to shut up the Bible. Let them try to stop us. But they can't, because the kingdom of God is everlasting. And so, therefore, his power is everlasting. And I don't have to worry. I commit my heart, my life. Yours is the power, Lord, and I trust you to work in my life. So, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. God's the power, not us. I'm glad I don't have to have power. I'm glad I don't have to have it all smarts. I can just trust the God who knows it all, who has all powerful one. The third thing about that is, I praise you that your power works in me. Now, think about this. The great God who created the universe, the God who rules everything, the God who is supreme, the God who is everlasting, that same God in Jesus comes to live in every Christian. To me, that's awesome. That is awesome. Let me read the scripture. It says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." There's that eternal part again. According to the power that is where? We talk about the power of God, the creator of the universe and all of that. But is that same power, is that same Jesus, is that same God available in the child of God? Is it not the same one who lives in us? If you've been born again of the Spirit, you trusted Christ as Savior and are born again, that same power is alive in you to accomplish his purposes as we obey him. Not our skill, not our strength. But does that give you any courage? Think about it. When God speaks to you about serving or ministering or being a friend or teaching a class or being a witness for Jesus or whatever, it's not you by yourself. It's the Spirit of God in you, the Holy Spirit of God living within you saying, "Okay, now if you'll open my mouth, I'll tell you what to say." And he'll help you speak. When you go to try to help somebody and you feel so inadequate when you do it, but he says, "I'll be there with you. I'll help you do that." The power of God is at work in us. So we should never have to feel defeated or discouraged or quit, because the almighty power of God is at work in us. Now, I recognize we can shortchange that power when we disobey God, when we sin against him, we keep him from operating. But that isn't God's fault. That's our fault, because we put a block, if you will, in the powerhouse or in the line to us because we disobey. But when we are staying and walking with him, the power of God, this creator, is alive in us. I hope you think about this. How awesome is it that God, who is so pure, holy, great, mighty, all the things you can describe him about, that God has taken up residence in your life and in our lives. Think about it. Where does God live? When God is somewhere, is he holy? Is the place where he lives clean? Think about your life. That means God in Jesus has cleaned up your life in us through faith in Christ that he can live there. Because God is not going to live in filth. It means when I come to Christ, the Holy Spirit of God has cleansed me from sin enough that he can live within me. And he keeps me clean enough that he can stay there forever. Thank you, Lord, for that power. May God help us to learn to operate in that power. Because sometimes I'm a chicken when I ought not to be. Sometimes I think I'll talk about Jesus, but I don't, because I think somebody won't listen or whatever. And I need to say, wait a minute, the power of the living God, that same Jesus through the Holy Spirit is alive in me. Dear Lord, take over. You take over. You speak. You help. You minister. You do it by the power. Yours is the power, Lord. Release it through me. Keep me where I can serve you. So yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. The third thing is, yours is the glory. Yours is the glory. I thank you for the songs we sung today about the glory of the Lord and honoring the Lord. Thank you, Walt. Yours is the glory. It's hard to describe. I try to think about what the glory means. It means to be exalted, to recognize the honor of God, the beauty of God, the majesty of God, the holiness of God, the glory of God that we see something about. I'm convinced that the glory of God that we have seen in this world is small compared to the full glory of God. My conviction is this, that if we as human beings in our current state could see the glory of God in His fullness and His majesty, that our minds would blow and our capacity could not tolerate what we see. Now, we've had some wonderful times. You've had some wonderful, delightful moments and seen some things that are beautiful and wonderful. But the glory of God, I believe, exceeds anything you and I have ever dreamed of. So that may be why He waits till we get to heaven with a resurrection body, or at least till we die in spirit, go to be with Him, for He reveals Himself to us. I don't think we could tolerate it. I don't think we could appreciate it even. But the glory of God. Some things about the glory of God. First of all, I praise You that Your glory is above all others. Your glory is above all others. The Scripture says, I am the Lord, that is My name. I will not give My glory to another, nor My praise to graven images. God's glory is above others. His honor is to be exceeded all others. Sometimes we worry about, maybe, I don't know if everybody does or not, but sometimes we worry about what other people think, feel about what we're doing or the way we're behaving or whatever. But that really isn't a key issue. What God thinks is the key issue. Am I glorifying Him? Am I lifting up His name? Am I making Him known? To me, when I think about the glory of the Lord above all others, I recognize He is supreme. And if I please Him and I'm walking with Him, who else I please is secondary, if not unimportant. But if I'm not pleasing Him, it doesn't matter who else I please. Because He is supreme. His glory. I want to honor Him. I want to exalt Him. I want people to see how wonderful He is. So part of our way, I think, of acknowledging His glory above all others is the way we live ourselves. If we live in honor to Christ, we live Christ-like lives. I know we don't get perfect, I understand that, but at least we set our heart and our desire to live Christ-like. And when we do, we acknowledge the glory that His is above all others. And so I come to say, Lord, today, Yours is the glory. I want people to see You. I want to honor You. I want to exalt You. I want to praise You. You're just above it all. You are the Lord above all others, and I acknowledge You. Because if I honor Him as my Lord, the rest of it will fall in place along the way. Secondly, I praise You that Your glory is eternal. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. His glory is eternal. He will be praised. He will be exalted at all times. He will be. No matter what anybody else says, no matter what anyone proposes that someday we'll get rid of God or the church or Christianity, that never can happen because His kingdom, His glory is eternal. I'm reminded in another passage of Scripture, which I didn't put on your notes, says that there's going to come a time when every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. My joy is I want to bow today my knee to the glory of God so that when that day comes, I'll bow my knee gladly and joyfully. There'll be some who'll bow the knee that day won't do it joyfully because they've never met Jesus and never been saved. They're going to bow okay, but they won't do it with the same kind of joy that we who know Jesus will gladly bow our knees and say, praise You. Your glory, Your honor, Your majesty. I get in on the cause of that. Your eternal glory. And I get to praise You forever. I don't know what all that's going to be like. Some people said, well, I don't want to go to heaven because it means I sit around and do nothing. I'll be boring. I think I heard people say, I don't want to go to heaven because it's boring. I don't think we even can conceive of what it's going to be like to just exalt the glory of God. To just praise Him and be with Him and talk about how great He is. His eternal glory. We're going to be glad. So, yours is the glory. It's above all others. It's eternal. Lastly, I praise You that Your glory is proclaimed in heaven. I praise you that Your glory is proclaimed in heaven. This passage in Revelation just says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" I don't know what that would be like exactly, but he said, "I saw 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands." I don't know how many that is. Glorify these heavenly hosts around the throne of God, honoring and exalting our Lord with all the wonderful praise and adoration. Do you suppose they can see Him even better than we can right now? Do you suppose those heavenly beings, those angels, I think they see Him more clearly than we do. But He said, "I saw this exaltation and giving worthy of devotion." And so they know Him and they proclaim Him, His glory in heaven. And others will honor Him. And I look forward to the day when we gather around. Can you visualize? Think about it. All the saints, all the Christians who know Jesus, who've been transferred to the kingdom of His beloved Son, gather around the throne of the Lord and give Him praise and glory. He's nothing like... I don't know how we'll ever... We can't describe how wonderful that is. I mentioned before, but one of the times it sort of got close, just a little of it, I guess I'd say, not close, but a little of it, was some years ago when I had the privilege of going to a Promise Keepers meeting in the Los Angeles area, and there's 50,000 men giving God praise. That was awesome to hear that many men, just men. You know, men don't always sing too well. But there was something wonderful about that praise among in that stadium with that many men giving God praise, honoring the Lord. And that's small compared to what this is. Because there's got to be more than 50,000 saints in this world since Jesus, right? Or even over around the throne. "We love You. We adore You. We praise You. Thank You for dying for my sins. Thank You for a new life. Thank You that I'm right here at Your throne because I adore You, Lord. I honor You." And so I suggest that when we come to the end of this prayer, I say, "Lord, Yours is the kingdom. I'm honored that. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory." The last word in that translation says what? Amen. That's it. It's done. It's finished. Amen. So as we come today, I hope that as you pray, you'll let some of these thoughts help you as you adore the Lord. I believe I need to learn, and all of us, I think, can do a good job, a better job probably, of adoring the Lord when we pray. So sometimes the first thing I say is, "Lord, take care of my mom. Take care of this illness. Take care of that." And we start asking before we adore. God wants us to ask. I'm not saying don't ask. How about just getting before the Lord and on our knees, or however you pray or sit or whatever, and you just begin to say, "God, you're the wonderful, glorious God. I adore You. Your kingdom reigns. And I recognize that. God, I recognize Yours is the power. You're the all-powerful one. I'm trusting You. And I want to glorify You every day I can." I think it'd help our prayer life a little bit. Now, if you're here and don't know Jesus and can't get in on that, the good news is it's available today through Jesus. You may have come in this building without Jesus in the kingdom of darkness, which I talked about earlier, but through faith in Jesus today, you can receive Him as Savior and Lord and get in on being in on what I'm talking about through faith in Christ. And He'll move you from a lost position to a saved position because you look to Jesus who died for you and you receive Him as your Savior and Lord. You commit your life to Him and He'll be there for you. If there's things in your life that are hindering your walk, sometimes there's things that are going on in our journey that are hindering us. We don't get to praise the Lord because we've been out of step with God somewhere. We've been disobeying God. If there's sin in our life, it's kind of hard to adore Him. You know, when the passage says if there's sin, it will can block our fellowship. It can make us lost, but it blocks our fellowship. And so we need to say, God, clean me up. If there is something. Is there something, Lord, between me and you that keeps me from honoring you? Take it out. Change that. Or maybe something you've been asking me to do and I'm not doing it. It's okay, Lord, help me get on with that so I can adore you, honor you. Let's bow together.